The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Michael Horden as Old Jolyon, Alan Howard as Soames Foresight, and Diana Quick as Irene. Episode 4.
Summer.
On the last day of May in the early 90s, about 6 o'clock of the evening, Old Jolyon Foresight sat under the oak tree before the terrace of his house at Robin Hill. For he had bought his nephew Soames' ill-starred house and settled into it over 3 years ago.
The peace. The family in Spain, even June, jolly at school, only my sweet little Holly for company. And, of course, you, my old chap. I get younger every spring. It's living in the country. Out of the racket of London, away from the cattle of Forsyth Change. No dreary boardrooms. No work and all play.
Old Jolyon's domed head, great white moustache, and lean cheeks were covered from the sunshine by an old brown Panama hat.
85? I don't feel it. Except when I get that pain in my side. Swithin was only 79. Poor, bulky Swithin went and died at only 79. Yes, old chap. You're good company. But today it had been nice to have a pretty face to look at. Nature's so beautiful it makes me ache. Yes. This weather's like Gluck's Orfeo, full of yearning. Orpheus yearning for lost beauty. His lost love. It's no good scratching. You haven't got any fleas. And nothing will make you believe the fact. I saw her there. Irene. That precious Soames's wife. That man of property. She became Bosinney's mistress. Left Soames at once after the young man died. Goodness only knows what she's been doing since. No one ever speaks of her. And yet, Joe told me that George said Soames had... Wow. Shocking, act. Shocking. No wonder the young man was distressed. Walk. Come on, old chap.
Slowly, as was their wont, Old Jolyon and Balthazar crossed the lawn among the constellations of buttercups and daisies and entered the fernery.
She was more beautiful than I remembered. Still young, 28 perhaps. Well, very likely has another lover now. Ah, is your old friend there, the water rat? You're getting your legs muddy, a stupid dog.
He entered the coppice.
What is it, old chap? There's nothing there, huh? What are you nervous of? Woods can be strange places. Come on!
He turned a corner. There was an old mossy log, and on it a woman sitting.
She's trespassing. I must have a board put up. Powers and power. It's her. Don't let that dog touch your frock. He's got wet feet. Come here, you.
Hello, Doug.
I saw you at the opera the other night. You didn't notice me.
Oh, yes, I did.
You did? They're all in Spain, the family. I'm alone. I drove up for the opera. That tenor's good.
Splendid.
Where are you living now?
I have a little flat in Chelsea.
Alone?
Alone.
Ah. This coppice, of course, you know.
Yes, I know it well.
We keep cows now. All Alderneys. They give the best milk. Why not come up and have some dinner with me? I'll send you home in the carriage.
Oh. Why, thank you, Uncle Jolyon. I should like to.
Capital. Let's go up then. The old oak tree?
I remember it.
What do you do all day?
Teach music.
Indeed.
I have another interest, too.
Work. Oh, nothing like it, is there? And what is your other interest?
Trying to help women who've come to grief.
To grief? To grief. Why, what do you do for them?
Not much. I've no money to spare. I can only give sympathy and food sometimes.
How do you find them?
I go to a hospital.
A hospital?
What hurts me most is that once they nearly all had some sort of beauty.
Beauty? Sad business. Come, we'll go in through the French window. You shan't be treated like any ordinary visitor.
Thank you, Uncle Curly. The hall and the music room are all one now.
All under one skylight. That's her look. That's her look as much as she wants. It's as if she's searching for something. Yes, of course. Dinner's in half an hour. You'd like to wash your hands? I'll take you to June's room. I think you'll find everything.
Having passed the brushes over his great white moustache and touched up his eyebrows with old cologne, old Jolyon let them know that he had a lady to dinner. He saw that Holly was sleeping and went downstairs through the swing doors to the wine cellar.
I wish I could make her look happy. It's a pretty face, but sad. Yes, Steinberg Cabernet. 35 years ago I bought it. Thank God I've kept my palate and earned the right to drink it.
After dinner, they went back into the music room. The light was just failing.
Play me some Chopin.
You like Chopin, Uncle Jolyon?
Of late, yes. Just as I now like Botticelli. I don't like Wagner. Summer. Ah, summer. There's one quality that appeals to me in a woman. Charm. She has charm. Like that late afternoon sunlight that falls on Italian hills.
Old Jolyon fell slowly into a trance. There was a world of sunshine lingering into moonlight, and fields of lavender where milk-white cows were grazing, and a woman, all shadowy, with dark eyes and a white neck, smiled, holding out her arms.
Beautiful. Touch of an angel.
Round about him now were fields of gold and silver flowers, white forms swaying in sunlight, bright birds flying to and fro. All was summer.
An Indian summer. And is that all? So we go out. No more beauty. Nothing. Beautiful. Go on. More Chopin.
Would you like some Gluck? He used to write his music in a sunlit garden with a bottle of Rhine wine beside him.
Yes. Let's have Orfeo. You haven't played me, Che Faro. Ah, what a clumsy chap I am. Like Orpheus, she too is crying for her lost one in this hall of memory. Is she crying? There, my love. There.
All over now. Forgive me. Look, he's brought me one of his cutlet bones. Thank you, darling.
You must come again. You must come to lunch. Then you can meet little Holly. This dog seems to have taken a fancy to you.
I've taken a fancy to you, haven't I, Balthazar?
The carriage will get you up in an hour and a quarter. Here's a little check for your protégés. I wrote it out before dinner. Only £50.
Oh, Uncle Julian.
Ah, it's a perfect summer night.
For 2 days it rained.
Did she come, or did I dream it?
He opened the letters from Spain with less excitement.
They're not returning till July. Why don't I feel upset?
And then summer really set in, bland and sunny.
Why do we always walk to the coppice, Gran?
Why not, my sweet? Don't you like the coppice?
Perhaps not every day.
Well, she's not there. Of course not.
On the seventh afternoon, he sent for the coachman.
Beacon, I must go up to town and get some boots. I might as well drop in at Chelsea on the way. Just drive me to where you took that lady the other night. The lady in grey.
Uncle Julian.
I was driving up. Do you like to put on your hat and come for a drive in the park?
I'd love to.
No, on second thoughts. Park's full of Forsytes. Suppose we go and sit in Kensington Gardens instead. No prancing up and down in those select precincts. I saw from the name board in the block that you've gone back to your maiden name.
Heron, yes, Mrs.
I'm not sorry.
Has June forgiven me, Uncle Julian?
Yes. Yes, of course. Why not?
And have you?
I? I forgave you as soon as I saw how the land really lay.
I never regretted. I couldn't. Did you ever love very deeply, Uncle Julian?
When I was young, love's a strange thing. Fatal thing, often. The young, arms entwined. We're an ugly lot. It amazes me how love triumphs over that.
Love triumphs over everything.
The young think so.
Love has no age, no limit, and no death.
Well, if it had limits, we shouldn't be born. Love's got a lot to put up with. Let's take these chairs under the chestnut. Oh, great. Clumsy things, these top hats. The heat one's forehead so.
Strange enough that I'm alive.
My son Joe saw you for a moment that day.
Was it your son? I heard a voice in the hall. I thought for a second it was Phil. That night, I went to the embankment. A woman caught me by the dress. She told me about herself. When one knows what others suffer, one's ashamed.
One of those?
Yes.
Tell me, won't you?
I didn't care whether I lived or died. When you're like that, Uncle Julian, fate ceases to want to kill you. She took care of me for 3 days. She
what?
Never left me. I had no money. That's why I do what I can for them now.
Take care, my dear. The world puts the worst construction on everything.
I know that.
I wish you had come to me. Why didn't you? Because my name was Forsyte, I suppose. Or was it June who kept you away? How are you getting on now?
Oh, with my £50 a year, I make just enough.
Well, you must come to me now for anything you want. Or I shall be quite cut up.
But what can I do for you, Uncle Julian?
That's easy. You can come down again on Sunday and play some more Chopin.
Then I will.
Good. Let's go and get some tea at Ruffles in the High Street. You'll come to lunch on Sunday. Very good.
On Sunday morning, When Holly had gone with her governess to church, old Jolyon visited the strawberry beds.
Oh, old chap. They took some finding. But at least 2 dozen really ripe berries.
Irene was to arrive by train at 12:30 and walk up through the coppice.
Was it a day like this when Soames brought Bosinney down here for the first time? His spirit haunts here, looking, perhaps, for a chance of seeing her. Bosinney, the one man who possessed her heart, to whom she gave her whole self. Ah, the pity of it. All over in a few poor months. Well, well.
With Balthazar in attendance, he entered the cottage and saw her exactly where he'd seen her the first time. On the log.
She must have come by the earlier train. To sit there alone. 2 hours. 2 hours of her company missed.
Forgive me, Uncle Jolyon. It was here that I first knew.
Yes. Yes. And there it is for you, whenever you like. Let's walk up to the house. You're looking a little London-y. You're giving too many lessons.
Oh, what is it, Uncle Jolyon?
Oh, no, it's nothing, my dear. My side sometimes hurts a little going uphill. Did you ever see anything like those buttercups? I expect he wouldn't have let me put that clock tower over the stables. Had no notion of time, if I remember.
I sometimes dream of fields of buttercups, and I'm flying over them like a bird or a swarm of bees. I think wildflowers are every bit as pretty as our cultivated ones.
The best flower I can show you is my little sweet, my little Holly. She'll be back from church directly. Something about her which reminds me a little of you.
After lunch, they sat under the oak tree drinking Turkish coffee. At the foot of the bank on a carriage rug, Holly and the dog Balthazar teased and loved each other. Irene sat in the swing, a light, vaguely swaying figure in grey.
It's quiet here. You mustn't come down if you find it dull, but it's a pleasure to see you. Holly's the only face that gives me any pleasure. Except yours.
Uncle Jolyon.
That's not humbug. I never told a woman I admired her when I didn't. In fact, I don't know when I've told a woman I admired her. Except my wife. In the old days. And wives are funny. She used to expect me to say it more often than I felt it. And there we were. Does Soames never trouble you?
No. He doesn't trouble me.
That's a comfort. You can see the grandstand at Epsom today. Shall we take a turn round?
Through the flower and fruit garden, through the stables, the vinery, the mushroom house, the asparagus beds, many delightful things he showed her. While Holly, a little friend of hers the same age, and the dog Balthazar danced ahead, it was one of the happiest afternoons he had ever spent. That evening, old Jolyon stood at the window of his study.
I must leave her something in my will.
Above the oak tree, the first star shone.
Faust bartered his soul for some fresh years of youth. But no such bargain is possible. That's the real tragedy. There's no making oneself new again for love, or life, or anything.
One of last year's oak leaves dragged itself with a tiny clicking rustle along the stone terrace in the twilight.
I've no right to inflict my company on her. No right to ask her down to play to me and let me look at her.
for no reward. Pleasure must be paid for in this world. After all, there's plenty. I'm going to. I wonder if she'd like to go to the opera.
On Tuesdays, old Jolyon journeyed up to town by train. Irene came and dined with him, and they always went to the opera.
Dear Uncle Jolyon, what is it?
Oh, it's nothing. Slight dizziness.
You must rest.
Little stitch. Glass of champagne will soon put me to rights.
On Wednesdays and Saturdays, she came down to give Holly music lessons. Afterwards, they dined.
Make hay while the sun shines, and drink that up. I want to see some colour in your cheeks. We mustn't waste life. It doesn't do.
And so a month went by. A month of summer. In the fields and in his heart. On the first day of the second week in July, old Jolyon received a letter from his son in Paris to say that they would all be back on Friday.
Ah, now they'll begin to fuss about me. After tomorrow, my Tuesday expeditions will have to be abandoned. But the lessons must go on. She must swallow down her scruples and let them go on. And June must just put her feelings in her pocket. It's not Christian to keep the memory of old sores alive. So you will continue to come down?
I need time, Uncle Jolyon, to think it over.
Well, I won't press you, of course not. You'll be coming down to give your lesson tomorrow afternoon. By then, you'll be used to the idea.
Yes, no doubt I'll be used to it by then. Dear, dear Uncle Jolyon.
Gran?
What is it, my sweet?
My mother's home. There won't be any changes, will there?
Why should there be?
Well, she doesn't like strangers, you know.
The train's in, sir, but the lady hasn't come.
I see.
Do you wish me to meet the next train, sir?
No, Beacon. The lady won't be on the next train. Put the horses in the stables.
Yes, sir.
She's going to give me up. I know it. And there's nothing I can do. An old man wanting to look on beauty. Ridiculous. I'm defenseless. I can't plead with her. Even an old man has his dignity. Defenseless.
Dearest Uncle Jolyon, I can't bear to write anything that may disappoint you. But I was too cowardly to tell you last night. I feel I can't come down and give Holly any more lessons now that June is coming back. Some things go too deep to be forgotten. It has been such a joy to see you and Holly. Perhaps I shall still see you sometimes when you come up, though I'm sure it's not good for you. I can see you are tiring yourself too much. Thank you a million times for all your sweetness to me. Lovingly, your Irene.
So there it is. Not good for me to have pleasure, happiness. Not good for me to have what I chiefly care about. Not good for me. What can I write? I had hoped that the memory of old sores would not be allowed to stand in the way of what is a pleasure and a profit to me and to my little granddaughter. But old men learn to forego their whims. They are obliged to. Even the whim to live must be foregone sooner or later. And perhaps the sooner the better. My love to you, Jolyon Forsyte. Bitter. But I can't help it. I'm tired. There goes all I've looked forward to.
That evening after dinner, which he scarcely touched, old Jolyon went very slowly upstairs, stole into the night nursery, and sat down on the window seat.
Never seen so red a moon. That moonlight will creep into the coppice. There'll be shadows. And the shadows will be the only things awake. Over that log they'll climb and whisper together. She and Bosinney. Does she exist? There's something wrong with me. Deeply wrong. I'll have to see a doctor after all.
He spent the morning languidly, with the sun blinds down, turning and returning the Times. Not reading much. The dog Balthazar lying beside his bed. With his lunch, they brought him a telegram.
Your letter received. Coming down this afternoon. Will be with you at 4:30. Irene.
Coming down. Coming down. After all, she won't desert me. She's coming down.
At 3 o'clock, he got up and dressed deliberately, noiselessly. Holly and Mamselle would be in the schoolroom and the servants asleep after their dinner. He meant to go down and meet Irene in the coppice, but felt at once he could not manage that in this heat.
We'll wait here, old chap, under the oak tree. You feel the heat as well. What a revel of bright minutes, what a hum of insects. And she hasn't given me up. I have everything in life I want. We'll see her clearly from here, old chap. Coming out of the fernery. The smell of limes and lavender. That's why there's such a racket of bees. All the great bees and the little bees. Yes, and the flies, too. 4. Half an hour, she'll be here. I'll have one tiny nap. I'll be fresh for her as she comes to me across the sunlit lawn. The lady in grey.
Some thistledown pitched on his moustache, more white than itself. Old Jolyon didn't know, but his breathing stirred, it caught there. A bumblebee alighted and strolled on the crown of his Panama hat, and the delicious surge of slumber reached the brain beneath the hat, and the head swayed forward and rested on his breast. Summer. Summer. So went the hum. The dog, Balthazar, stretched and looked up at his master. The thistledown no longer moved. The dog placed his chin over the sunlit foot. It did not stir. The dog withdrew his chin quickly, rose, and leaped on old Jolyon's lap, looked in his face, whined, and then leaping down, sat on his haunches, gazing up. But the thistledown was still as death, and the face of his old master. Summer. 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 The soundless footsteps on the grass.
Now I know whom Holly meant by the lady in grey.
Yes, that was Holly's name for me.
I'm pleased I've made that courtesy. Thank you for his Indian summer.
He was so wonderfully kind to me. I don't know why.
He looked so peaceful, sitting in the chair under the tree. I don't think an end could have been happier. We should all like to go out like that.
Yes. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to live again, Cousin Jolyon. It's wonderful to have money of one's own. I've never had any. I shall keep this flat, I think. I'm used to it. But I shall be able to go to Italy.
I'm pleased Dad did that for you. Really pleased.
Julian has actually left £15,000 to whomever do you think, my dears, to Irene.
That runaway wife of Paul Soamesy.
A woman who almost disgraced the family and who was no blood relation.
Not out and out, of course. Only a life interest, only the income from it.
He must have seen it would be right and made it to have a life.
One has to say that Jolyon has become a little wayward.
Not the behaviour of a Forsyte.
I'm worth well over £100,000, and I've no one to leave it to.
After years of almost passionate money-making, Soames Forsyte had migrated to a desirable riverside house near Mapledurham, with a picture gallery beautifully hung and lighted.
I'm getting on. I'm undivorced. It's an unspeakable position. And I cannot get Annette out of my mind. Annette. I always find some excuse for going back to Soho again and again.
Of all quarters in the strange, adventurous amalgam called London, Soho is perhaps least suited to the Forsyte spirit.
Annette. Brown hair, blue eyes, dark lashes, perfect. French figure.
Soames Forsyte had tasted the sordid side of sex during these years of forced celibacy, secretively, and always with disgust, for he was fastidious. Annette was altogether different.
Being French, she's not likely to lose her head or accept any unlegalized position. I went to look at one of Father's houses that had been turned into a restaurant, not quite in accordance with the lease. The Restaurant Britannia in Malta Street. Little round green tables, little pots of fresh flowers, plates from Brittany. I was shown into a back room, and there she was. Annette.
You wish to see Maman, monsieur?
Yes. I represent your landlord. In fact, I'm his son.
Won't you sit down, sir, please? I shall call Maman.
Her mother, Madame Lamotte, obviously had business capacity.
Monsieur, très distingué.
One of those generously built French women who inspire perfect confidence in everything.
Monsieur, très amical, très gentil.
I'm in the prime of life. The girl's an undoubted beauty, but I'm undivorced. It's unspeakable. And now I have this house. It needs domesticity.
The possessive instinct never stands still. In the 80s and 90s, there was a somewhat rapid progression from self-contented and contained provincialism to still more self-contented, if less contained, imperialism. The possessive instinct of the nation was on the move. Old Jolyon Forsyte had died in 1892. 7 years later, in 1899... Roger Forsyte, collector of house property, suddenly breathed his last at his own home in Prince's Gardens. At Timothy's, after the funeral, there was a rally.
I'm a poor thing!
Poor Roger was always eccentric about his digestion, Soames. Didn't he prefer German mutton to all other kinds?
It was a perfect funeral.
And properly at Highgate, my dear. Not like Jolyon, who went and buried himself quietly at Robin Hill.
Well,
I think people have a right to their own bodies, even when they're dead.
I agree, Euphemia. It would be a jolly good thing to stop all this stuffy Highgate business.
Francis. And how's your dear father, Soames?
A little more nervous than he was, Aunt Hester, but then he is 86.
I want a son. I can't speak of it here, but I want a son.
We hear that poor dear Winifred is having the most distressing time with Montague.
Dartie has always been a bounder.
Such a bad example for a father to set to his son, just as Val's going to college.
Do you think these boys are really going to resist?
Surely not.
Timothy's in quite a stew about it. I'd like to see that old Kruger sent to St. Helena. I remember so well the news of Napoleon's death, and what a relief it was. Of course, Julie and I were in pantalettes then.
Poor old dears. They're hopelessly romantic too. I must have a son.
Will they make Mr. Chamberlain Prime Minister at once? He'd settle it all so quickly.
I don't want any hole and corner liaison. I could marry Annette at the embassy in Paris and bring her back quite separated from her past. No one would ever know she kept accounts in her mother's restaurant.
Soames?
There'd be a certain cachet about a French wife. It's this cursed, undivorced condition of mine. Why didn't I push the thing through when that wretched Bassini was run over? There was evidence galore for the asking.
Soames, my dear.
I'm sorry, Aunt Julie.
We were wondering, do you ever hear anything of Irene nowadays?
Julie!
Your cousin Jolyon is her trustee, but you know that, of course.
I didn't know that.
His wife died, you know, very quietly. But then she did everything very quietly.
That's true, Hester.
Oh, Soames, you're not going already?
Yes, I must go and see Winifred and find out exactly what's happened. Remember me to Uncle Timothy.
Read this, Soames.
Oh, ICM Club paper?
I was going to throw it away, but you might as well read it.
It's from Monty?
Can't you tell from the scrawl?
You will not get chance to insult my own again. I am leaving country tomorrow. It's played out. I'm tired of being insulted by you. There's some kind of splotch here. It's still wet. Goodbye. I took the photograph of the two girls. Give them my love. I don't care what your family say. It's all they're doing. I'm going to live new life, M.D. Now, what is all this about, Winifred?
A few days ago, I went to my jewel case. I discovered my pearls were gone. Well, you remember them, the ones Monty himself gave me when Val was born.
And that Father had to pay for later to avoid a scandal.
Exactly. Well, I consulted Monty at once, but he pooh-poohed the matter and said they'd turn up. And it was only when I told him I'd go to Scotland Yard myself that he said he'd take the matter in hand. That night, very, very drunk, he placed a revolver against his chest and pulled the trigger several times. Of course, it wasn't loaded. And then he said that if he hadn't the right to take the pearls he himself gave me, who had? And that he'd given them to the Spanish filly.
To a horse?
To a girl he saw dancing in the Pandemonium Ballet, and whom Monty was smitten with. I told him he was a thief and a blackguard. And he twisted my arm. I told him he was the limit. Next morning, he wasn't in the house. I thought he'd gone off to Newmarket or Brighton with that woman. It was only when I noticed that the photograph he mentions in his letter was missing that I thought that he might have gone for good, gone to the arms of a Spanish jade. I sent for Val.
Where is Val?
He's out for the evening. Do you think Monty's really gone, Soames? Why, you can see the state he was in when he wrote that.
I shouldn't think so. I might find out at his club.
Yes, Dartie's flitted. Made a bolt to Buenos Aires with the fair Lola. Good for Winifred and the little Darties. He was drunk as a lord last night, but he went off all right this morning. His ship's the Tuscarora. Young Val will want a bit of looking after. You'll enter Winifred for the divorce stakes straight off, if you ask me, Soames. You'll take steps.
Take steps, take steps. Yes, for my own divorce. But what steps? Ah, didn't Aunt Julie say Cousin Jolyon was Irene's trustee? Ah, the first step is to go and see him. He's got a boy at Oxford. Why not take young Val down and introduce them? It's an excuse. Less bald. Very much less bald.
Ah, there you are, Soames.
Hello, Father.
I'm poorly. Emily's gone up. Dartie has gone to Buenos Aires.
Well, that's all right. Good riddance.
Well, I paid for those pearls. He's a thief. And Emily said there'd be a divorce. We would have had a divorce in the family.
Mother told you?
Oh, nobody tells me anything. There you are, a motor car. Ugly, great, lumbering thing making all that racket. And now there's this old Kruger. I knew how it would be when that fellow Gladstone made such a mess of things after that dreadful business at Majuba. He's dead now, thank God. The Empire will split up and go to pot, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, the Empire will be all right, Father. Mm-hmm. How's Mother tonight?
Oh, Emily will live 15 or 20 years after I'm gone. And she'll spend a lot of money. And she's always had extravagant tastes. For all I know, she might want one of those motor cars. Oh, I'm glad you're here, my boy.
There's nothing to worry about. Good night, Father.
Father, I want a son. I want a son.
I just came in to talk to your mother about pulling down a partition.
Then I shall...
No, don't call her.
Monsieur will have supper with us. It will be ready in 10 minutes.
You look so pretty tonight. So very pretty. Do you know how pretty you look, Annette?
Monsieur is very good.
Not a bit good.
Mais oui.
Are you happy over here, or do you want to go back to France?
Oh, I like London. Paris, of course. But London is better than Orion. The English country is so beautiful.
I want you and your mother to come for the afternoon next Sunday. My house is on the river. It's not too late in this fine October weather, and I can show you some good paintings. What do you say?
It will be lovely. The river is so beautiful.
Well, that's understood then. I'll ask Madame. This is Val Dartie, Jolyon, my sister's son. Oh. He's just going up to Oxford. I thought I'd like him to know your boy.
Ah, I'm sorry Jolly's away. What college?
BNC.
Yeah, Jolly's at the Hives. But he'll be delighted to look you up.
Thanks awfully.
Holly's in. If you could put up with a female relation, she'd show you round. You'll probably find her in the stables over there.
Oh, thanks awfully.
I see you've some drawings at the watercolour exhibition.
Mm. I haven't seen you for a long time.
No.
Ah, yes.
As a matter of fact, it's about that I've come. You're her trustee, I'm told.
Yes.
Well, 12 years is a long time. I'm tired of it.
Won't you smoke?
No, thanks. I wish to be free.
Ah, I don't see her.
But you know where she lives, I suppose.
Hmm.
I don't want her address, I know it.
What exactly do you want?
She deserted me. I want a divorce.
Rather late in the day, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know much about these things. At least I've forgotten. Do you wish me to see her about it?
I suppose there's someone.
Oh, I don't know. I imagine you both may have lived as if the other were dead. It's usual in these cases. My father was fond of her.
Hmm.
Oh, hello. I'm Holly.
I'm afraid you don't know me. My name's Val Dartie. I'm once removed, second cousin, something like that, you know. My mother's name was Forsyth. What's your brother like?
Oh, jolly. Oh, I couldn't begin to describe jolly.
Does he boss you? I'll be knowing him at Oxford. I like your horses.
Oh, here's Balthazar. Oh. He's so old, awfully old, nearly as old as I am. Oh, poor old boy. He's devoted to Dad.
Balthazar? That's a rum name.
He's a darling. When Grandfather died, he wouldn't eat for 2 days. He saw him die, you know.
Was that old Jolyon? Mother always says he was a topper.
He was. This is mine. Fairy.
Ah, she's a jolly palfrey. Horses are ripping, aren't they? Mm. I say, if I hire a G tomorrow, will you come and ride in Richmond Park?
Oh, yes. I simply love riding. I want to go everywhere. I wish I were a gypsy.
Yes, gypsies are jolly. You're rather like one, you know.
To go mad rabbiting everywhere and see everything and live in the open. Oh, wouldn't it be fun?
Let's do it.
Oh, yes, let's.
It'd be grand sport. Just you and I. Look out for me tomorrow, then. 3 o'clock. We'll have a ripping ride.
Right situation in the Transvaal. Right.
I must do my best for her. Dad left her to me in his will. But what is best? Beastly of Soames to take up things at this time of day. I dislike him. I dislike Soames to the very roots of me. And that's lucky. It'll make it easier to back his wife.
Won't you sit down?
You look absolutely unchanged.
And you look younger, Cousin Julian.
I'm ancient.
But I don't feel it. That's one thing about painting. It keeps you young. Titian lived to 99 and had to have plague to kill him off. Do you know, the first time I ever saw you, I thought of a picture by him.
When did you see me for the first time?
In the botanical gardens.
How did you know me if you'd never seen me before?
By someone who came up to you.
Yes, many lives ago.
What is your recipe for youth, Irene?
People who don't live are wonderfully preserved.
My cousin Soames came to see me the day before yesterday. He wants a divorce. Do you?
Aye. After 12 years. It's rather late. Won't it be difficult?
Unless...
Unless I have a lover now. But I have never had one since.
And yet, I suppose you give a good deal to be free, too.
I don't know. What does it matter now?
But if you were to love again?
I should love.
Well, is there anything you'd like me to say to him?
Only that I'm sorry he's not free. He had his chance once. I don't know why he didn't take it.
Because it was a foresight. We never part with things, you know, unless we want something in their place. And not always then.
Well, what does Soames want in place of me now?
I don't know. Perhaps children?
Yes. It's hard. I would help him to be free if I could. But I don't see what I can do.
Nor I at the moment.
Well, what did she say?
She has remained faithful to memory.
I can't go on like this. I just can't go on like this.
Surely it lies with yourself. A man can always put these things through if he'll take it on himself.
Why should I suffer more than I've suffered already? Why should I? Your father took an interest in her? Why, goodness knows, and I suppose you do too. It seems to me that one only has to do another person a wrong to get all the sympathy. I don't know in what way I was to blame. I've never known. I always treated her well. I gave her everything she could wish for. I wanted her. After all, she was my wife.
You have to look at facts, or rather the want of them.
The want of them? Yes, but I'm not so sure.
I beg your pardon. She was quite explicit.
My experience has not been one to promote blind confidence in her word. We shall see.
Oh, everything is chic, is it not, Annette?
Oui, maman.
If Annette and her mother have any knowledge at all, they'll see the value of the place. The picture collection alone is worth at least £30,000.
Oh, monsieur is a real Monte Cristo.
They know nothing of pictures. They walked straight past that remarkable study by Mauve as if it were a lithograph, and ignored the Israels, whose price is ascending.
Ah, Miss Saunier.
The one picture I'm ashamed of. Miss Saunier is steadily going down. She's heard the name.
Oh,
How do you like my place, Annette?
Who would not like it? It is so beautiful.
Well, perhaps someday.
Oh, what a jewel.
Yes, that's quite a good example of Meissonier's later work. You must come again, madame, and see them lighted up. You must come and spend a night.
Oh, chante.
He drove to the station with them and saw them into the train. To the tightened pressure of his hand, it seemed that Annette's fingers responded just a little. Soames walked home.
Oh, to know what's in her mind. The French, they're like cats. One can tell nothing. But how pretty she is. What a perfect thing to hold in one's arms. What a mother for my son. I will and must be free. I won't hang about any longer. I'll go and see Irene. If you want things done, do them yourself. I must live again. Live and move and have my being.
You?
Yes. I hope you're well.
Thank you. Will you sit down?
Just as I remember. Strangely beautiful.
You have not changed.
No. What have you come for?
To discuss things.
I have heard what you want from your cousin.
Well?
I am willing. I always have been.
Oh, how I remember. 1,000 memories.
Perhaps you will be good enough then to give me information on which I can act. The law must be complied with.
I have none to give you that you don't know of.
12 years. Do you suppose I can believe that?
I don't suppose you will believe anything I say. But it's the truth.
I suppose you're comfortably off now.
Thank you, yes.
Why didn't you let me provide for you? I would have, in spite of everything. You're still my wife. Why do that? You'll catch cold in that dress. I'm not dangerous.
It was habit.
Rather odd habit.
I ought to hate her.
You'd better tell me. It's to your advantage to be free as well as to mine. The old matter is too old.
I have told you.
Do you mean to tell me there has been nothing? Nobody?
Nobody. You must go to your own life.
That won't do. You deserted me. In common justice, it's for you.
Why didn't you divorce me then? Should I have cared?
Why couldn't you have made me a good wife?
Yes. It was a crime to marry you. I have paid for it. You will find some way, perhaps. You needn't mind my name. I have none to lose. Now, I think you'd better go.
Will you shake hands?
Yes.
Ice. She's made of ice. She was always made of ice.
Special ultimatum by Kruger. Declaration of war.
The following afternoon witnessed the greatest crowd Timothy's had known for many a year.
What an impudent thing of that old Kruger.
Impudent? I think he's quite right.
True.
What business have we to meddle with them? If he turned out all those wretched Eightlanders, it would serve them right. They're only after money.
What? Are you pro-Boer?
I like that, Francie. Pro-Boer. Very fine.
Well, why can't we leave them alone?
Well, so, Aunt Julie,
so. Dear June is being so original. Fancy, Soames. She thinks the Boers are not to blame.
They only want their independence. And why shouldn't they have it?
Because they happen to have agreed to our suzerainty.
Suzerainty? We shouldn't like anyone's suzerainty over us.
They've got advantages in payment.
A contract is a contract.
Contracts are not always just. And when they're not, they ought to be broken. The Boers are much the weaker. We could afford to be generous.
That is mere sentiment.
What lovely weather it's been for the time of year.
I don't know why sentiment should be sneered at. It's the best thing in the world.
James! James, my dear, it's been 2 years.
I thought I'd come and see for myself. What have they answered, Kruger?
Evening paper says, instant action by our government, state of war existing.
I was afraid they'd cut and run like old Gladstone. We shall finish with them this time.
James, my dear, such resolution from you.
Where's Timothy? He ought to pay attention to this.
He didn't say much at lunch today.
I'll go and ask Smither if she's seen him.
The Boers are a hard nut to crack, Uncle James.
Where do you get your information? Nobody tells me.
My youngest brother's going to drill regularly.
What? No, Val's got to look after his mother. He's got no time drilling and that with that father of his.
What do you think?
My dear, what is it?
Timothy. Timothy has bought a map. He's put in 3 flags.
That shows what this nation can do when it's around.
The war's as good as over.
In episode 4 of the Foresight Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogard. Old Jolyon was Michael Horden. Soames Foresight was Alan Howard. Irene, Diana Quick. And young Jolyon, Michael Williams. Maurice Denham played James Foresight. Rachel Kempson, Aunt Hester. Renee Asherson, Aunt Julie. Angela Pleasance, June. And Fiona Walker, Winifred. Annette was played by Shelley Thompson, George, Christopher Good, Madame Lamotte, Joe Kendall, Francie, Susan Sheridan, Holly, Elizabeth Mansfield, Val, Dale Rapley, and Holly as a child, Emily Britton. Other parts were played by Moya Leslie, David Googe, and Leonard Fenton. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Janet Whittaker.